that we can have an abundant life here on this earth. We can have the promise of eternal life in a place called heaven. We thank you for that. And we ask right now, Lord, that you'd speak to us. May our hearts be receptive. May our wills be compliant to you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are going to be talking about the church in the next few weeks, what God expects for us, how we can connect, grow, serve, and share. And, you know, when you start talking about church membership, you start talking about believers joining together in a body, in a church, in an organization, if you will. You know, we are only as strong, humanly speaking, as the sum total of our parts. And if you have a church that is made up of unhealthy Christians, then you're not necessarily going to have a healthy church. And so spiritual health is very, very important. Matter of fact, it is vitally important that we be spiritually healthy. Now, we know physically we need to be healthy. We do things to try to get better physically, to improve our health physically. Stephanie went out of town this past week, and usually when she goes out of town, I do two things, and I don't know if either one of them are good. I watch a lot of The Planet of the Apes, don't know why, and I eat a lot of barbecue. But this past week, she went out of town. I didn't watch any Planet of the Apes. I binge-watched SEAL Team, and I only ate barbecue one time, which is a dramatic improvement. Because when you get our age, you start realizing that if you want to stay healthy, you've got to take care of yourself. Now, I'm 52 years old, and there are people that are my age that look like my daddy. It happens. You get a certain age, I mean, you can go one of two ways. If you don't take care of yourself, it'll eventually show up. Trust me, it will eventually show up. And if you don't take care of yourself spiritually, it will eventually show up as well. You will start having behaviors that will indicate, hey, you're not a spiritually healthy person. And so we want to be spiritually healthy, and we're going to look at a little tiny letter that the Apostle John wrote. It's 3 John toward the end of your Bible. And he writes it to a guy named Gaius, and he's going to talk about Gaius, how he's a spiritually healthy guy. And there are certain behaviors that would flow out of his life, and he's also going to contrast him with another guy in the church, Diotrephes, and he is a spiritually unhealthy man. And we're going to see the behaviors that kind of flow from his life. And if you kind of want to just kind of summarize it, you can look at it this way. Spiritually healthy people help other people. They'll be a blessing. They will help to further the kingdom of God. They'll help further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Conversely, spiritually unhealthy people, they try to control. They try to control people. They try to control circumstances. And we're going to talk about that. So, you know, you may think, well, you know, I want to be a spiritually healthy person, but, you know, I do have some control issues in my life. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the solution to that, all right? So look, if you will, verse 1. It's just one chapter. 3 John, verse 1. It's the elder. That's John, the Apostle John, the guy that was with Jesus, okay? John, okay, the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey, in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth. It says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, when I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, that we may speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So here's John. This is the Apostle John, the guy that was one of the original apostles called by Jesus. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He saw the miracles, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. He even saw the dead come back to life. He was there at the crucifixion. He saw the resurrection. He saw the ascension. He's been very instrumental now for decades in the church. And at this time, John is probably in Ephesus. It's toward the end of his life. And he's at Ephesus, at the church at Ephesus. And he's writing to this congregation. We don't know what specific congregation it is. There are several Gaiuses mentioned in the Bible as one of the most popular names in the Roman Empire of that day. And so he writes to this guy, Gaius, who is probably a leader there in that church. And he says something very interesting. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So he says, Gaius, you are an extremely healthy guy spiritually. You are a very healthy guy spiritually, and I wish that you could be in the physical shape as you are in the spiritual shape. I want to ask you, if somebody said, you know what, I wish that you were as physically fit as you are spiritually fit, what kind of condition would you be in? He says, guys, you are a spiritually healthy guy. You look at all these stuff that he says that he does. He says, you walk in the truth. He says, I've got great joy to hear my children walk in the truth. Gaius is a guy that's taking the word of God, putting it into practice. He's walking it out, living it out. He says, he does for the brethren. He says, a born witness, how when the traveling missionaries and preachers and itinerant teachers that were sent out by John to this particular congregation, when these traveling missionaries would show up, Gaius was the guy that would make sure that they would be lodged, that they would have food and clothing, and that it would have shelter. He's the one that took care of them. Gaius did. And John's saying, Gaius, you get it done, man. You are an extremely spiritually healthy guy, and you help others. You're helping these guys that I'm sending your way. You put them up. You provide for their food, for their lodging. You're taking care of them. Matter of fact, they're not a burden to the Gentiles. Look what he says. Verse 7, he says, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. He says, we ought to receive such workers that we could become fellow workers of the truth. He says, guys, you take the truth, you put it into practice, you are a blessing to the lives of others. We know this because John says it. He says, and that originates because your soul is healthy. Your soul is healthy. That's why I wish that you would prosper physically the way you are prospering spiritually. Let me say real quickly. Spiritually healthy people help other people. They do. They don't have anything to prove. They don't have anything to lose. They know the source. They know why they're living. They know where their strength comes. They know where their identity lies. And spiritually healthy people help other people. They understand that it's about God's kingdom. They understand that you take truth, you put it into practice, you live it out. You have your sense of worth, your identity, your purpose comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you get spiritually healthy, and as you're spiritually healthy, you find yourself helping other people. Now, I want to ask you, are you a spiritually healthy person? If your physical health was a reflection of your spiritual health, what kind of condition would you be in? Would you even be here today? Now, we know that in order to be physically healthy, you got to watch what you eat. Now, I'm not the best about this. Stephanie's really good about that, and she helps me. But I know that when Stephanie, like I said, when she goes out of town, I don't eat good. And I can understand when they say men that aren't married, it shortens their lifespan. I believe it. Totally believe it. Because if you want to be healthy, you've got to be careful what you eat. You've got to exercise. You know what you have to do to be physically healthy, or you know what can help. Do you know what you need to do to be spiritually healthy? Are you a spiritually healthy person? What are you doing for your spiritual health? Are you doing anything? Do you do anything that nurtures you spiritually? Spiritually healthy people help other people, and that's a blessing to the church. That's a blessing to the kingdom of God. Now, what about spiritually unhealthy people? Well, spiritually unhealthy people, they're not like Gaius. They're like this other guy, Diotrephes. Diotrephes had control issues. Let me tell you something. If you're a spiritually unhealthy person, you'll have control issues. This is how it works. Look what it says. John says in verse 9, he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. In other words, John, the apostle, the guy that traveled with Jesus, the guy that was at the Last Supper, the guy that was at the Ascension, he writes a letter to this Diotrephes, who's obviously probably perhaps the pastor of the church. And Diotrephes gets this letter from John, and he's like, throws it away. He doesn't receive it. He doesn't read it to the congregation. He doesn't take it in. Why? Because Diotrephes is very protective of what's his. It's his church. It's his kingdom. And he's going to protect it because it's about him. As a matter of fact, he says, Diotrephes, who likes to have the preeminence, that means first place. Colossians 1:18, it says that in all things that Christ should have the preeminence. Well, here's this with Diotrephes. He wants to be first. He wants to have the preeminence. So then he says in verse 10, John says, if I come, I'll call to mind the deeds which he does, the prating words that he speaks against us, the malicious words that Diotrephes speaks against John the Apostle in order to undermine John's authority, in order to undermine John's influence. Why? Because that church belongs to Diotrephes. And he wants to protect it for his own kingdom, for his own sake. And so, John says, I wrote a letter, Diotrephes, he won't receive it, he threw it away. Diotrephes also has this propaganda machine that speaks malicious words against John and others in order to protect his turf, in order to protect his kingdom. Diotrephes is a spiritually unhealthy person. And as a spiritually unhealthy person, he tries to control what he's afraid of losing. It continues on. It says, not only this, he does not receive the brethren, and he forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Those emissaries that John would send, the traveling preachers, teachers, evangelists that John would send out of the churches into this church, Diotrephes says, we're not going to receive y'all. We're not going to provide lodging for y'all. As a matter of fact, if anybody in this church provides any food or lodging for these traveling pastors, teachers, evangelists that have been sent by John, if anybody provides anything for them, we're going to kick you out of the church. That's what he says. He's going to kick them out. Now, in that day, traveling pastors, evangelists, itinerant teachers, they depended upon the kindness and the hospitality of others. You didn't have the hotels and motels like you do nowadays. And it was dangerous to spend a night out in the open. And so they depended upon others. And Gaius, the first guy we talked about, he made it where these traveling pastors were not a burden to the Gentiles, to the lost people. They didn't have to foot the bill. He made it where he would take care of it. But Diotrephes is like, we're not going to take care of those guys. And if anybody tries to take care of them, we're going to kick you out of the church. Why? Because it was all about Diotrephes. It was all about his kingdom. It was all about him taking care of what was his. He was protecting his kingdom at the expense of God's kingdom. That's what Diotrephes was doing. He was a spiritually unhealthy person. Matter of fact, John says nothing about him being spiritually healthy. He says Diotrephes, on the other hand, he likes to have the preeminence. He likes to try to take the place where God's supposed to have. That's what Diotrephes wants. Let me tell you something. Anything in your life that you do not acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ in, you have the preeminence. You have the first place. That's your kingdom. That's your baby. That's yours. And what happens is that when you do not allow and acknowledge the lordship of Christ in some area, it could be a pursuit, it could be a relationship, what you will do is you will try to control. That's how it works. You got a relationship. Well, I can't trust God with this relationship. You know what you're going to do? You're going to try to control the other person, or you're going to try to control the circumstances. oh, I can't trust God with this pursuit. Well, then you're going to try to control things. And you're going to worry. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to have fear. It's part of the package. It all comes together. You will not be spiritually healthy if you have control issues. Now, it does not mean that you don't do your best. It does not mean that you don't love or you don't care. But having done your best, being a loving, caring person, using wisdom, there comes a point where you've done what you can do, and then you have to say, okay, God, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. And you don't go to means that are wrong in order to control. Now, here's how it also works. If there's something in your life where you feel like you've been burned before, you'll control if you're not careful from here on. You know, I trusted God in this area, or I trusted in this relationship, or, you know, I trusted in this pursuit. It didn't turn out the way I wanted to, or I got burned, or whatever it is, and you don't get over it. You'll control. You'll try to control that relationship. You'll try to control that pursuit. And it's like, you know what? I feel like I walk in the Spirit in all these areas of my life, and I follow God. I'm a good testimony, but in this area, I don't. Because I feel like I have to control. And it's like I become a different person in this relationship. This relationship is different from all other relationships. I'm really following God. I'm Spirit-filled. But in this relationship, it's all me. It's all me. Because I feel like I got control. Because I trusted before and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And now I've got control. And it's like I'm a different person in this pursuit or in this relationship. It's control. And you will be. You'll be like Diotrephes. This is a picture of how we are when we want to have the preeminence. When we won't have first place, when we want to do it our way, when we don't want to trust God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Scripture says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to do that if you have to protect. You cannot protect your kingdom and build God's kingdom at the same time. God's kingdom doesn't work that way. And you can say, well, I know, here's how it goes. I know what the Bible says, but it doesn't apply to this situation. Okay? Seriously? But that's how we think. Oh, I know what I should do, and I know what a clear teaching of Scripture is, but I can't do it in this relationship because, and here comes the reasons why. Therefore, I have to act like a very fleshly person in this relationship. I have to act like a very controlling person in this pursuit. Because Scripture doesn't apply here. Because I'm different. This situation is different. Because I got burned before. Because lightning struck once and I don't want it to strike twice. We become like Diotrephes. And in the process of becoming a controlling person, we lose our joy, our peace. We don't have near the level of love we used to have. And you got to learn. Yes, Scripture does apply here. I may have been burned, but Scripture still applies. This may not have turned out the way I wanted it to, but Scripture still applies. My heart may have been wounded, but Scripture still applies. And we're going to see that in a second. It's like me if I said, you know what? I'm a healthy person. I'm a very healthy person, except I got my liver is trash. It just doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't work. But I'm a healthy person. But my liver doesn't work. Oh, I'm a healthy person except for that artery being 99% clogged. But I'm healthy just for that. Except for that artery, I'm fine. I mean, I'm very healthy. You say, no, you're not. That's going to kill you. No, it's not that liver, that's going to kill you. You got to have your liver. Okay. That's how it is when we make excuses for whatever it is in our life where we're going to control. Oh, I can be the most pleasant, Spirit-filled person in this situation, in this environment, in this pursuit. But in that one area, no. That's where I control. We are a Diotrephes in that area. A Diotrephes. Nobody wants to be that. But that's who we are. We all have something we have to trust God more than in other areas. There are certain areas where it may be really easy for me to trust God. It may be a lot harder for you because of history, because of family, because of whatever. But we all have stuff where it's harder some points in our lives than others to trust. But if you want to be a spiritually healthy person, and a spiritually healthy person that helps others, then here's what you need to do. Look, if you will, look at verse 11. We're going to see a third guy that he introduces. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. We also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true." Demetrius is probably the guy from John that gave this letter to the church, or to Gaius. He says, y'all know Demetrius. Demetrius has a good testimony. We can attest to it, but the truth attests to his good testimony. In other words, Gaius imitates that which is good, because that which is good is of God. Demetrius takes the word of God, and he puts the word of God into practice. And putting the word of God into practice makes for a good testimony, makes for a spiritually healthy person. See, the solution for that problem of bad spiritual health in whatever area of your life is simply taking the word of God and putting it into practice. And you'll hear folks, I'll hear folks will say, I know what the Bible says, but this is different. No, it's not. No, it's not. I know what Scripture says, but, and then they give excuses why they can't. It doesn't work like that. Matter of fact, let me read something to you from the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Here's what James says. He says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He said, when you hear the word and you read the word, you see the word, you know what to do, but yet you immediately go your own way, I'm not going to do it. He said, that's like somebody who when they get up and they look in that mirror and they see the stuff that needs to be fixed, the stuff that ain't right. I mean, you wake up, you got crust everywhere, and you're like, and then you're like, okay, big deal. And you walk away. No, you don't. You tend to yourself. When you look in that mirror and you see that perfect reflection of how you look physically, you're like, okay, there's a few items that need to be taken care of. And you clean yourself up. And then you walk away. But yet what we'll do, we'll go to the Word of God and we'll see what the Word of God says about a pursuit, about a relationship, or whatever it may be. Okay, I know what Scripture says, but not going to do it. And you walk away. You say, that's what that's like. You see what needs to do. You see how your life measures up when you look into the mirror of God's Word and you see what needs to be fixed. And you look at it and then you make a decision, not going to do anything about it. So like in the mornings, you look in that mirror. It's like you look in the mirror, see what needs to happen, and you do nothing about it. But we all know that when you look in that mirror in the mornings, what do? You take care of business. Oh, I see this needs to be taken care of. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be cleaned up, whatever it is. You do it. He says, the one that looks into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, takes it in, puts it into practice, and continues in it, that one will be blessed in what he does. You want to be healthy spiritually? You want to be blessed in what you do? Do simply what Scripture says. Put it into practice. Quit holding out certain things in your life as the exception. Don't do it. I know people do it. We all have temptations with that. Yes, I know Scripture says this, but I'm different. Or, yes, I know Scripture says this, but this is different. Everybody's got the different. And that means, different means I need to control. Different means I need to take matters into my own hands. I need to control circumstances, I need to control people. Just like Diotrephes. You will not be a healthy person spiritually, and I dare say you will not be healthy physically if you don't deal with those control issues. Now, right now, if the Lord's convicting you about some control issues in your life, automatically there's going to be that resistance that comes up because control is a stronghold. That resistance comes up and says, oh, but he doesn't know this. Oh, but this is different. It happens. I mean, it does. So now, let me just take what the Bible says and simply put it into practice. Well, if I put it into practice and everything's going to be just unicorns and rainbows, no. But you're going to walk in obedience and you'll have a life that is blessed. It is blessed, and you're living this life in preparation for the life yet to come. You're laying aside treasures in heaven, like Scripture says. So I want to challenge you. If there's an area that is spiritually unhealthy in your life, a relationship that's spiritually unhealthy, a pursuit, and you know that it seems like I walk in the Spirit in all these areas of my life except this area, and I do things my way, well, then that needs to change. Or I am such a wonderful person in all these other relationships of my life, but when it comes to this relationship, I act in a totally different way. That needs to change. Well, why do you act? Well, because I feel like I have to control things. I don't trust God like I need to. I don't put God's word into practice like I ought to. And I know certain relationships are more challenging than others. I know certain pursuits are more challenging than others. Certain circumstances are more difficult. But don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer. And see, as a body, if we get healthy spiritually, taking God's word, putting it in practice. That's the way to spiritual health. Read the word of God. Put it into practice. Don't make excuses. You're not the exception. I'm not the exception. None of us are the exception. That's how you get healthy spiritually. Spend time in the Word on a daily basis. Spend time in prayer. Have somebody give you some spiritual accountability. Whatever you need. But you need to grow spiritually. And if there is that area where, you know, you're not trusting God, you need to just pray and say, Lord, I am a Diotrephes in this relationship. I'm a Diotrephes in this pursuit. And just pray, be honest, and say, God, I want to take your word. I want to put it into practice. I don't want to make up any more excuses. I don't want to consider myself the exception. I don't want to excuse behavior that's unexcusable. I want to honor you. And then just walk it out. Just walk it out and continue in it and continue and keep walking it out. And have your life lived to please God, not others. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us, you care for us, and Lord, you do desire for us to be spiritually healthy people, and Lord, I know that sometimes we complicate it. We make it a lot more complicated than it ought to be, and Lord, sometimes, you know, the cure is so simple, but yet we don't want to do it. It may that be that we've been burned before. It might be that we saw bad examples growing up. Could be that we're lazy. You know, whatever the reasons are, Lord, you know. And Lord, I pray that we would be committed to not only being a hearer of the word, but being a doer. And Lord, that we'd keep doing it, regardless of our feelings, Lord, regardless of circumstances, that like Psalm 1 says, that we would meditate on your word day and night.